Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to keep on looking at some of these imperatives that Paul gives in this section of application for the churches in Galatia. Last time we were together, we looked at the imperative of restore. Remember that? We talked about the importance of restoration, how that's something that is very, very Christian, something that Christ followers are to be doing. We talked about how the instruction in this passage is for the brethren, for those to go and to seek to restore those who are overtaken in a fault. As I was preparing for today, I realized that, yes, this is for those who are to seek to restore, but you know what it also does? It also reminds us that as the body of Christ, there's going to be people that will come after us if we are overtaken in a fault. It kind of sets that up, kind of reminds us of that, because that could be us, could be me, overtaken in a fault. And in that passage, that imperative instructs us that, you know what, because you're part of the body of Christ, this is what you should expect. And that's a blessing too, isn't it? We shouldn't be shocked or surprised if we are living in sin and we have a brother or sister lovingly come up to us and seek to help us. That's ministry. It's a ministry of the church, of the brethren. The same would be true for each of these imperatives. The next imperative, and why do I make much of imperatives? Well, it's because these are instructions for us to live. These are ways that you need to do this. This is the way that it would come across in the Greek, and when it would have been read in the assembly of the believers, they would have caught hold of these instructions. This is what you ought to be doing. You ought to be restoring. Verse 2, you need to bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. In this passage, the word burden is repeated. You see it there in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And then you see in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Some may find this passage to be a bit confusing, because when you at first read, you read in the verse 2, I'm supposed to bear one another's burdens. I'm supposed to do that. That's fulfilling the law of Christ. But then in verse 5, it says, let every man bear his own burden. So what does that really mean? How's that supposed to look? How's that going to work? Well, I want to remind you, the body of Christ is made up of many members. We are in relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. That's why Jesus uses that illustration. God uses the illustration of the body. Because there is one head, Jesus Christ, but then there's many members. But you know what? We're all connected, aren't we? As the body. We're connected to one another. And so we need to work together. We're in relationship with one another. And if one hand doesn't like this hand, then you've got a problem, don't you? You've got an unhealthy body. And so each of these things, these instructions, are in the context of relationship, of relating with one another, especially those of us here in the body of Christ in our local assembly. You're here today because you have chosen to attach yourself, if you will, to this body of people. You want to belong to the body of Christ. But as you belong, I want to remind you there's also responsibility to be. It's even more than just I'm a part. I am, and I do. I serve. So within that context, of course, restore makes sense, right? Because it speaks of relationship. Well, bear you one another's burdens, again, reminds us of relationship. We are in this thing together. You look around this room, we are together. We are one another's. We're a part of the same body, the body of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you can look around this room and you can say, I'm grateful to be a part of this body. And I love these dear people. And I'm excited to serve alongside these dear people. As I said, you see the word burden appear twice in this passage. In verse 2, that word is a word for heaviness, the word for weight or trouble. And as you might guess, burden in verse 5 is a different word. And this is one of the reasons why I like the language study, because it kind of brings out things you don't always see in the English. Because you and I, we just read this and we see English, burden, burden, burden. We know what a burden is. But in the Greek, it specifies the difference here. Verse 2 being a burden that is specifically known for its weightiness, for its heaviness, for the fact that it brings trouble upon the one who is bearing it. Wherein is verse 5, it is more generic in the sense that it speaks of a load, of an obligation, a responsibility. In verse 5, that word burden can refer to a heavy burden or a light burden. It can be light or heavy. So what this does is it creates within us this reminder, there are two ideas going on here. The first centralizes on the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ that Paul is referring to? Just look across the page, if you will, to chapter 5 of the letter to the Galatians. And I want you to see verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Go to John. Go to the Gospel of John and go to chapter 13. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. John chapter 13. When I think of John 13, I think of the washing of the feet. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now, this was something that needed to be done because their feet were very dirty. They were eating a meal together. And what does Jesus do? But Jesus goes and he washes his disciples' feet. And listen to what he says, chapter 13 of John, verse 13. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And then go to verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone, that is Judas Iscariot, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I believe this is a clear reference in the principle of the law of Christ. This loving one another and its demonstration being such through serving. When I think of a burden, I think of big sack. And it's just full of things, and it's weighing a person down, and they're hunched over, and they're plugging along, and they are carrying something very, very hard. In the body of Christ, does that ever happen? Does that ever happen to you? Have you ever been there where you've been trudging through life and there's been a heavy load laid upon you? And it takes a toll. Maybe you're losing some sleep. Maybe you're having a hard time coping with relationships in your life because you're weary, you're tired, whatever it may be. But you are experiencing what I describe as weighed down. I would venture to say that all of us in here at some point or another have experienced that. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but in your mind and your heart, I bet all of you would. Because you've been there, you've had times like that. What Paul is doing for us is reminding us that we are in this thing together. We are on the road to heaven, not there yet, but we're headed there. And we're marching together. We all have different lives, but the same goal, the same purpose. But at different times in our lives, we carry different loads. And one of the beautiful things about the church is that we ought to help bear one another's burdens. This fulfills the very law of Christ as he told his disciples. This is how the world will know. They will see you loving one another. A great day we announced about helping out over at the Hathaways. All right, so I picture Louise. She goes out there and she sees all this wood. Big pile of it. And she looks at her two hands. And knowing Louise, she would get it done. She could do it. She could do it, all right? But I want to say, but this is a lot because it's just her two hands right now. George usually helps, and of course he would be out there if you could. but he can't right now. So there's a heaviness that exists there. I just find it interesting that we announced it today. Because perfect illustration here for an opportunity to bear ye one another's burdens. I've got a pile of wood that needs to be split. I don't. Louise does. Pile of wood that needs to be split and stacked and put away, whatever it needs to be done. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And that's what I appreciate. I appreciate about, hey, we're going to make an announcement. We're going to get people together. We're going to go do this. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And you know what's going to happen? That wood, it's going to move. It's going to fly. And it's going to end up from that pile, split in their basement, wherever they want it, and it's going to be done. And Louise, yes, she'll probably be helping as much as she can. But you know what? That burden is lightened. It's a beautiful way to love one another, isn't it? Just thinking about it, it's just exciting to go and you do those kinds of things. You know, the ministry up at Christian Lake, when the people showed up, anytime somebody shows up to work, to help, to serve, you know, it's a refreshment. Your life, my life, it's a refreshment, isn't it? Can we admit that? It's okay. It's okay to need help. It's okay to say, you know what, I've got a heavy load that we're bearing right now. We can pray, too. Did you know that that is one of the wonderful ways of loving one another? You know, I might not be able to fix your car, but I can pray and ask God to direct you to a mechanic who can. And just that simple act that reminds you that you're not alone. Right? The obvious application in all of this is, are you doing this individually, corporately, us together? Are we doing this? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. It's interesting that this verse is plugged in right here. Because bearing one another's burdens implies sacrifice, humility. And then he acknowledges here, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, and he right away acknowledges this issue that we deal with as people. When we begin to think ourselves, hey, I'm this, or I'm that, when in reality we are not, it's a place of deception. I don't know what all was going on in the church in Galatia, but it is very likely that there were some possibly who were seeking to take advantage of others. Perhaps there were some that were, hey, I'm somebody who is in need. Everybody come and help me. I've got certain things that I need to take care of. Thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he's just deceiving himself. Do you understand what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, a part of it? that you belong and you are there to serve and love one another. That you realize that there is a difference between a heavy burden that's causing great trouble in your life and an obligation or responsibility that you have in life. You see, because Paul continues, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden, bear his own responsibility. We could take advantage of one another. We could take advantage of everyone's kindness and generosity. But Paul wants us to understand and realize we need to take responsibility for the things that are in our lives under our control, that lay upon us, that we ought to be doing. If you have a family, it's your responsibility to take care of your family. You don't just farm that out to anybody else, everybody else. It's your responsibility. Be a hard worker. You have a hard time keeping a job because you don't want to work hard, because you have an issue with authority. And you keep losing jobs and looking for handouts because you are choosing not to work hard. Every man shall bear his own burden. I like how he puts it in verse 4. Let every man prove his own work, his own mettle, his own merit. You do it. Because there is a matter of rejoicing in that. When you realize that you have taken upon yourself this responsibility that has been laid upon you, because it's a part of your role, it's a part of your life, it's where God has you, and you embrace it, and you work hard at it. And there is a rejoicing when you come home from work and realize that the paycheck laying on the table you worked hard for, and the paycheck that's right there is going to provide for my family. Because God has given me my family, God's given me this job, and I am being responsible. But I realize that not everybody lives that way. I realize that our culture is preaching a different message even now, today, more than ever. But the church ought not to live that way. We as the body of Christ, yes, we help one another with the heaviness, the weightiness of life and what it brings. But when it comes to obligations and responsibilities that are ours because of who we are and where God has us in our roles, we are to prove our own work. And there's reward in that. There's joy in that. For every man shall bear, future tense, by the way, future tense, shall bear his own burden. Embedded within that, I believe, is the aspect of the reward, or what you get for not working. Shall bear his own burden. You get what you put into it. Right? You reap what you sow. For every man shall bear his own burden. These are some important principles that the church needs to master, because we have been taught it, and we have every reason to live it, to care for one another, but to care for our own responsibilities as much as we are able. That's the kind of people we ought to be, church. That's the kind of people that this world is looking for, to see people that are different, and then to wonder, why in the world, why do you work so hard? I can remember when I was early on into the workforce. I was just a teen, like late teens. And I had been taught to work hard. And when I started with this construction company, you know how there was, I think it was a half-hour lunch, and then you had a 15-minute break in the morning and a 15-minute break in the afternoon. Is that the way it is? It's been a while since I've been out in the, but that's the way it was. But I'd watch the clock. And when 15 minutes is up, I'd get back up. And they'd just still be sitting there. And finally, they just had to tell me, Josh, just sit and wait. Wait for the boss to get up. When he gets up, then you can get up. I was like, all right. I mean, I didn't know what to do anyway. But it was that idea of instilled within me, and I believe I'm going to give credit to my parents, to the Word of God, instilled within in me is like, if I'm going to get paid for this, I need to work. Now, I know there's a measure of, you know, but anyway, it's the principle, you get it. And I'm grateful for that being instilled within me. Are we instilling that within our children today? Are you? Parents? Grandparents? There needs to be an expectation of this. Because if we don't expect it, they won't meet it. And you won't draw them to it. Let's be a body of people who draw people to take on their responsibilities and obligations, and to do so with joy, realizing there's great reward in knowing I've accomplished this, I've done this. And we're not about glorifying self and all of that. I know that. You know that. This is about being the body of Christ. And you know what? The body of Christ exists in this world. It's a real entity in the world. We're not in this compound that's got walls all around and nobody sees us. No. We're out there. And so we get a chance to make a difference. So we make this difference within the body as we bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. But we make a difference out there as we bear our responsibilities individually. The obligations that are laid upon us because of our role and where God has us in life, we embrace them and we do them to the best of our abilities. When things get hard, you won't be ashamed to ask for help, because you know what? You know you've been working hard. You can ask for help. Where do you ask? You ask the body of Christ. And we had better be the kind of people that are ready to say, I'm there. Don't you like the forthright, upfront communication from Paul? It's just right there. So where are you at? What about you? Are you bearing one another's burdens? When was the last time that you came alongside a brother or sister and said, let me help you? I recognize you're carrying something heavy. You're carrying a load that's knocking you down. I realize it's part of your life. It's something that's going on. But I want to walk with you. Instead of the load being all on your shoulders, let's carry it on both. One on part of it on mine and part on yours. When was the last time you've done that? Is there an opportunity in your face right now for you to do that, and you've been resistant. You realize, you know what, I should be doing this. I can. I have all the physical abilities, I have the time, I am able. I need to do it. You need to do it. What about maybe you're one who's bearing the burden and nobody knows? Or we can't tell, or maybe we just didn't guess the right thing yet. Don't play that game with us, please. Because we can't read minds. We as people don't always get it right. I know that. The church leadership does not always know what's going on in your life, and we don't always know who to call when. But if you do need some assistance and you need some help, I trust you call. I trust you seek help. And ask us. And hopefully we can do something to help you. To minister in your life, get this, the love of Christ. That the world might know this is what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. What's your attitude towards work? God has put in your life right now obligations and responsibilities. You've got bills to pay. You've got a family to take care of. Whatever it is, God has put those, allowed those into your life. How are you doing in your attitude towards that work? Are you proving your own work that you can rejoice when you walk away? That you were able to do this, that you held to your responsibility and obligation. For every man shall bear his own burden. You give an answer. I give an answer. Didn't know we were going to talk about work today, did you? But we need to hear these every once in a while, don't we? Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of how you lovingly confront us and challenge us. But Lord, we're helped. We are helped and strengthened because we realize and we understand that you want us to be a clear, consistent testimony of the love of Jesus to this lost and dying world. I rejoice, God, in what you have taught us today, what you've taught me, how you've challenged me in my life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.